This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 228 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, March 30th, 2016. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch. Marcus,
hello.
Hey, man.
What's going on, buddy?
It's going well. You know, a little bit tired today, but seems like that's going around.
Yeah, I've put my own. We've been talking on the show about mental health. Boy, have I put my own mental health in a bind. I'm working like 18-hour days for like the last 20 days, so it's going to the edge. I'm about to snap, but thanks to your post and that recent survey about mental health, I think I'm going to be okay.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you should go back and listen to our episode about burnout.
Yeah.
You need to take some of your own medicine.
Yeah, I know. Such as, you can't switch off. There is no off position on the genius switch, so it's got to stay full on all time.
So tonight we don't have a guest. We're going to catch up on some news topics because we've kind of skipped the news segment here the past few weeks, so we got a lot to talk about. But before we get into that, we do have a brand new iTunes review, and this is the first one since December of 2015. So it's been a while, but Marcus, who is this lucky individual who sent us a review, and what did they have to say about the show?
His name is Aaron Benedict. He did leave us a review actually just yesterday. It was a 5-star review titled "An Easy Podcast to Listen to." We agree with that. And his comment is, if you want to know about WordPress and the people behind it, this is the podcast for you. Jeff and Marcus have interesting guests on, chat about the topics of the week, and Marcus will give his plug-in picks of the week. I really enjoy the work and effort they both put into the show. Well, that's great. Thank you, Aaron. We do appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, thank you very much, Aaron. And that's pretty much what we do on the show. We just outlined it right there in a paragraph, what it is we do every Wednesday night here on WordPress Weekly. So thanks again. And we really appreciate seeing new reviews and what you have to say about the show. So if you could take some time out of your day, 5 or 10 minutes, log into iTunes and submit a review. Tell us what you think about this show and maybe give us some ideas on some topics or guests that you'd like to hear about or hear from. That'd be great.
And we are currently, as of this recording, number 3 in iTunes in terms of WordPress podcasts. And we would like to be number 1. So
please, and that is country specific, right?
Yes, that's for the U.S. We are ranked differently in other parts of the world. Canada, we're doing well. Australia, equally. So it's about the same ranking. Some of them vary in terms of positioning. But wherever you are on the globe, and we know that people listen to the show from everywhere, we would appreciate that iTunes review. And remember, if you leave a link to your website, or at least the URL to your website, in the review itself, then we will not only read it on the show, but we'll put a link to that in our show notes.
That is correct. So one of the first things we want to talk about this week, and we covered this, we're going to talk about this last week, but we didn't get around to it. But I know a lot of people out there use W3 Total Cache, and there's been some rumors going around that maybe the project has been abandoned, which is really odd because it's connected to a company called W3 Edge, which offers professional commercial services. In fact, they upsell these services within the plugin. And it's gone a number of months without any significant updates in terms of features. Apparently, there's been some changes to it where the README file is updated to match, to say that it's compatible with newer versions of WordPress. But there's been some reports that it hasn't been working with older versions of WordPress, and a lot of people have just been wondering what's going on with the project. So I got in touch with Frederick Towns, who is the founder of the company and creator of the plugin, and managed to get his response, and he gave us an update in terms of what's going on behind the scenes. And he said that there's been a lot of development operations that have been ongoing behind the scenes. They have a private repo, which apparently a lot of new features and bug fixes have gone into that were not, of course, it's private, so the public's not privy to see that type of activity. But he also said that they're working on new services and support model, which is more exclusive in an attempt to reduce the number of service requests and misaligned customer subscriber expectations for the company. So they're working towards the beta, moving towards a 1.0 release. And there's some changes going on over there. All this to say is that the plugin is not abandoned. It's active on, it's actively installed on more than a million websites. I mean, it's insanely popular. So it's very odd that it would just sort of disappear, or development would disappear within within several months. But he's still there. He's continuing to work on the product. And that's pretty much it on the W3 TotalCash front. I mean, there's some other stuff we can go into, but and we'll get to that a little bit later in the show, because there's a different topic I want to talk about that's related to this that I think all plugin authors, whether you're a plugin author, developer, or someone who maintains or owns a service, we're going to talk a little bit about communication, because I think due to the lack of communication here led users to believe that some abandonment occurred. There's speculation. There's just not a lot of good things that happen when communication goes missing. We'll talk a little bit about that later in the show. But Marcus, do you use W3 TotalCache on any of your sites, or maybe on your personal site, or do you use a different caching plugin?
I don't. No, I don't do that, because a majority of my sites, even my stage sites, are hosted on WP, WordPress managed hosting,
and they don't like WP
Engine.
Yeah,
right. So they have their own. They have their own CDN system. So, for instance, Bluehost has their own CDN, GoDaddy as well. They do, caching across their servers, I believe. You got to be very careful with caching. And the example that I'll give you is just a recent project that I had. I have a plugin that does ad banners. And for some reason, I don't know why, it would never display the actual ads. It would only display one ad, period. And it was strange, because every time I flushed the cache, bam, there would be the next ad. And so I actually talked to the host provider, which in this instance happened to be WP Engine, and asked them, can you take me out of this CDN in terms of that particular subdomain and let me run my ads? And the answer was no. Now, if this were a personal site or something like that, and I wasn't able to run ads, who cares? I mean, I don't run ads on any of my sites, but this happened to be a client which had other clients that had already had agreements where they were going to sponsor specific events. And then based on that, they, whatever their level happened to be of sponsorship, they would then get advertising throughout the site. So I was under the gun. I had to figure something out. And I did get it working around the cache. And if you want to know how I did it, I actually just created a ad zone for every single banner, and then used David Kramer's plugin called My Shortcodes, which is an extension off of the Caldera shortcode engine, and created kind of a random banners script. So kind of a roundabout way to get it done, but it got done. And that was around a cache. So that's why you have to be very careful about your caching. Half the time it's not content that's going to need it, or you don't have the traffic that warrants a cache plugin. If you're not getting thousands of hits a day, I don't see the bent of it, but to each his own.
Caching is a technical problem. It's hard. The caching system set up in W3 TotalCache has all these different settings to solve complex problems on server setups. And, I got to say, from an end user perspective, when I first got into WordPress, the first thing I read in all these tutorials was one of the first things you have to do is install a caching plugin. And the most popular one at the time was WP Supercache. So I'd install it and turn it on. And I don't know, there was just something about me where I kept wanting to flush the cache because I'd see all this stuff that it was cached. And I don't know, I got in that habit. And I couldn't tell for love or money whether it was working or not. And, in my experience over the years, I've tried to make changes to the CSS and I can't see the changes because the cache has to be flushed, or I'm trying to change on an image and the image the new image won't show up because the old one is cached, and I have to wait for that cache to expire or flush it. And I've just, you know, as a user, I've experienced so many problems. I'm just trying to do basic site maintenance, and there's some cache somewhere on the server at some level that's causing me problems. It's cache is very frustrating, or it can be. I mean, I know it can be a huge performance gain in the right server situations, configurations, but man, I've experienced more problems than not messing around with those plugins.
And what are the selling points of caching, right? It's supposed to be, oh, you get increased site speed. You can handle when
a million a decrease in use of server resources because you're not having to load the same thing over and over again. You're loading right. commonly, you know, popular items that are being requested. You know, you save a cache version of that and serve that instead of having to regenerate the page over and over again for each request. That's where the performance gains come in. At least that's my basic understanding of it.
Okay, so that's the selling point of it. And when these cache plugins came out, when was that? 6-8 years ago?
This was back in the days where you did not – any WordPress site that got on the front page of Dig or anywhere close just crashed. You'd see a white screen of death, and kind of gave WordPress a bad rep at the time that it just could not – it was not performant and couldn't handle scale, a lot of traffic.
Yeah, you reminded me of something when you said Dig. I actually had that happen to me twice on articles that I submitted. Okay, but look, getting back to this, I'm trying to walk you backwards on this on purpose. And that is to say that a lot of these caching plugins came out 6 to 8 to 10 years ago, whatever, because the performance of the hosts back then stunk, right? They weren't that great. And they weren't using WordPress as their main function and conduit within the hosts. So now we have WordPress managed hosts that take care of all that stuff. And when, you know, they get traffic, theoretically, they are supposed to have a CDN that can handle that extended amount of traffic coming to that specific server. So it's built to scale. And that's one thing that I think we've forgotten. Right now, what if I said to you, there's some problems right now with cassette tapes playing. Would you care?
No.
Okay. So
I'd say, what's a cassette tape?
You know, so it's not a and it's, you know, caching is a relative thing dependent on what your host environment is. So word to the wise, don't overthink having to use a cache or that it's a requirement. It's something that long ago helped, but I don't see much relevance in it today. And by all means, if anybody thinks I'm wrong, throw it in the comments on this episode at wptavern.com.
Yes, we're quite open to feedback, and we'd be willing to go over that in next week's show. If anybody out there uses WPCLI, this is a pretty cool utility. It's a command line interface for WordPress. So instead of using a GUI or the typical WordPress backend, you can use this command line interface and type in these commands to manage and perform functions on WordPress sites. And I know quite a few developers who love this tool, and it saves them a lot of time. Daniel Bachhuber, who is the maintainer of the project, recently released version 0.23.0, and this was a big-time release and includes a number of bug fixes, improvements, a lot of new features. But an important thing to note here, especially if you're thinking about upgrading to WordPress 4.5, is that versions prior to this one, so prior to 0.23, will not work with WordPress 4.5. And there's some technical issues involved with this where it involves the WP settings file and some other issues to that effect. But basically, it comes down to 0.23 and above are the only ones that are compatible with WordPress 4.5. So if you're going to be working with or upgrading sites to 4.5, and you still want to use WPCLI, you're going to have to upgrade to that version, or else it just simply won't work. So just wanted to throw that out there in case any of our listeners, especially the technical kind, use WPCLI.
And, absolutely.
I haven't used it. I've not seen the command line interface, but I have talked to enough people to realize it's a very useful tool.
It is, and I did use it for a little while, but right when it first was announced, but I haven't lately, so this doesn't directly affect me, but like everything else, I'm sure that they'll get it together in terms of making it compatible with 4.5 when that drops.
So Weston Reuter, who is the main guy in charge, or the guy who's putting in a lot of effort on the customizer component in WordPress, has been creating a lot of these new sort of individual plugins that tie into the idea that sort of enhance the customizer. He's trying different things and different ideas to these little plugins. And Sarah Gooding profiled one that I thought was pretty nifty. It's called Draft and Save Customizer Changes for Later with the new Customized Snapshots plugin. So what this does is it lets you draft and preview customizer states that you can share via a private URL that the plugin generates. And users who are not authenticated can preview these snapshots on the front end without loading the customizer. So you can basically customize a WordPress site, a theme, save that state, and share that to somebody else, and they can see how that looks without having to load the customizers, which I thought was pretty cool. Now, if the user is authenticated, they'll be able to actually load the snapshot inside the customizer, and they'll be able to make further edits or publish the draft to their website. So I think that's cool. And it comes with two states. One is called full, and the other is dirty. Now, a full state is it will play back all the settings during preview, which is a change set. So it's kind of technical here. But the dirty change is that will only play back the ones that were marked dirty when the snapshot was taken. So more like a revision. So this is a pretty cool, and it kind of gives people it sort of opens up the possibilities of being able to use the customizer, customize a theme, hand it over to a client via URL on their WordPress site, and they could take off. They could take off where you left off, and I don't know. It just sounds like a pretty neat and cool idea.
I'll tell you, there's a plugin that I use that would go hand in hand with this, and that's called Customizer Export Import by, I think it's Justin Busa that does that one, which allows you to import and export customizer settings between sites. So this is very handy if you're going to use this on a stage site, and you can let somebody actually preview different states of the customizer and then be able to import and export those. Interesting.
So does it, because there's something called transactional or transactions, customizer transactions proposal for the customizer. But apparently with that and this plugin, you would be able to make changes in the customizer. There'd be a revision history, but then you could schedule them to go live at a certain point. I was just kind of wondering when that would be useful, when I would be able to use something like that. Like, I guess I could make some changes to my theme and create a design and schedule it to go live, let's say, on a holiday. I guess I could do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take your site out of it, and let's take, commerce sites. If you were going to have specific flash sales, and you see this all the time on Black Friday, when you go to, or Cyber Monday, whatever it happens to be, you go to a different commerce site, even one of the big boys, and you'll see that the site is altered to show the specific sales that they have. That's one way to do it. So you could time and schedule it so that only your on sale products or those kinds of things are featured within the menus. And then perhaps you dump your footer menu to be the regular menus in terms of what it used to be during those frames. And then, I mean, you could change the colors and the settings and the fonts and all of those things within the customizer. So that's one way. And I know it's funny because I mentioned menus, yet when we put menus in the customizer, all we did was hear Greek in the community.
Yes, I did.
But if now there are specific menu import export plugins out there as well. Same thing with widgets, but the customizer should be able to do all of that in terms of one file that does all of those settings.
It looks like the direction it's heading. So just a cool plugin. We Sarah Gooding wrote up a post about that. Of course, we'll link to that in the show notes if you want to check it out for yourself. Now, Modern Tribe, which is a fairly well-known digital agency within the WordPress community, has acquired GigPress. GigPress is a popular event management software. It's active on more than 20,000 sites. It's accumulated over 260,000 downloads, and apparently it's very popular with musicians and performers, of course, to manage events in WordPress. Apparently it was acquired because its creator, Derek Hoag, was letting it slowly die of neglect. He was been doing a lot of work in different content management systems, and he just couldn't find the time necessary to continuously update the plugin and add features, things of that nature. So he managed to get in touch with some people at Modern Tribe who already makes Events Calendar and the Event Ticket Plus plugin. So this seems like a perfect tie-in to existing products they have. And Modern Tribe CEO Shane Perlman said that after they made some key introductions, they explored it and eventually actually went for it, pulled the plug on it, and actually acquired it. And it looks like they're going to continue. They're going to ramp up developing GigPress. And it also looks like they may possibly turn it into a software as a service solution and tie it into their other products. So that'll be interesting, and we'll keep tabs on that. But see, that's another – I'm not into building websites, and that's something else that I know is a common request for people is event management, calendars, and things of that nature, event calendars. And have you had any experience, Marcus, with building a client site to handle events?
Absolutely. I mean, come on. I deal with, you know, mostly membership sites. So events is where it's at. I actually use this plugin from Modern Tribe, the Events Manager Pro, And I've used the extension for tickets as well, integrated that into WooCommerce. What it does is it actually sends out a QR code, that kind of thing. There's also kind of a check-in module where people can check it. You have somebody pull up a specific page and it just has a bunch of check boxes of who's registered to that event, and you can check them in as you do that. I believe also a way that you can scan it in terms of a QR code that's printed on a ticket, scan it with a phone and allow entry that way. So there are a lot of things that Modern Tribe does for the Event Manager Pro, and I would love to see even more in this sense. I'm often wrestling with this thing because I'm putting hundreds and hundreds of events into it, both online and offline events for one particular client. And it's a very good solution. It looks nice. It's easy to configure and make it look just like the theme. There are some quirks to it, just like any other plugin or anything that you work with. Sometimes it's overkill in terms of the data that they require, and sometimes enough. Just depends on what the situation is. But I've seen some very good updates from Modern Tribe, so I assume that they are going to continue with that ardent tradition of putting out very good stuff, and whatever that holds for GigPress, I'm very anxious to see, because I think that even putting it in SaaS would be a better option, because a lot of times I think, as you said, bands or even businesses or things like that, they don't really want to get into the back end of a website just to put up a gig. And this is a pretty good solution in terms of if you can integrate these two items together. So we'll see. We'll see what Modern Tribe does.
Well, congrats on the acquisition there. It certainly seems like if any of our listeners are using GigPress, you know, you shouldn't panic. It's been acquired by a company who has your best interest in mind. They've already said that they're going to work on updating it, maintaining it, and actually, you know, maybe integrate some other things into it. So, don't be alarmed. I think you have great things to look forward to if you're a current GigPress user. So,
there's no cause for alarm whatsoever, because otherwise the plugin was going to die on the vine.
That's right. So this is it's actually the best case scenario if you're a GigPress user.
That's right.
So WordPress core contributor or WordPress contributor Rian Richvold, I hope I got that right, has won the Hero of Accessibility Award. So at the 31st Annual International Technology and Persons with Disabilities Conference, which was held in San Diego, California, Rian Richvold was recognized by knowability.org for her accessibility contributions to WordPress Core. And she took first place in the individual achievement category of the Heroes of Accessibility Awards. So I just want to read her nomination, which Sarah Gooding published on The Tavern. And in the quote, it says, she leads the push to make WordPress Core accessible and is knowledgeable, dedicated, and effective advocate for accessibility in the global WordPress community. Her achievements in 2015 were significant and are having a major impact on the core accessibility of the application that is used to build more than 25% of all the websites in the world. So congratulations to her. And for me to you, thank you for all that you do in making WordPress accessible for everyone. She's doing a great job. And I know that the WordPress accessibility team in general is doing a great job, and they're making a lot of progress starting last year and really into this year, and it's been ramped up, and there's been sort of a larger spotlight cast on the accessibility portions of the WordPress software. So everything is congratulations to Richvold, and thanks for making WordPress more accessible.
Absolutely. Thanks for your contribution and congratulations on that recognition and that honor. And as you mentioned, the whole team is doing a lot of great things in terms of accessibility. And let me just share a moment with you is I got an email, I think it was maybe a couple of weeks ago, by a person who lives in Japan and they're also blind. And they appreciated me giving a plug-in review of something that they needed. And I was kind of blown away by that not only were, you know, did they find use out of the thing that I mentioned, but that they would take the time to, you know, write to me and describe their situation and things. And I know that when strides are made in terms of accessibility as a milestone, then people like that, you know, they're the face of it. They're the people that use WordPress, that some of these people actually make a living from writing and those kinds of things, you know, with sight disabilities and otherwise. So kudos to everybody who's working on that front. It's a very valid contribution to not only the community, but to humanity in terms of being able to communicate more effectively and giving these people a voice when they wouldn't otherwise have it.
Exactly. Couldn't have said it better myself. And speaking of accessibility and such, I want to talk a little bit about something called communication. And this sort of harkens back to the story of W3 Total Cache, but not exclusively. This is for anyone out there who is managing WordPress plugins, themes, or services. And if you're a user or a customer, you want to know what's going on with the product. You want to be able to stay in the loop. And what does that mean? What means that the person in charge or the person at top needs to communicate? They need to keep people informed as to what's going on. Because if you don't, you know, like we see what happened with W3 Total Cache, it leaves users feeling, you know, abandonment, there's speculation, serious doubt as to what's going on. Maybe it's time to move on. So I wrote this considerable lengthy piece on The Tavern, published it earlier this week. And it was a hard post for me to write because all the things inside of it is like common sense to me. It's like who wouldn't do these things? But you know, there's been situations I've run into writing about WordPress stuff where I'm in this situation where I'm trying to find out what's up, what's going on, and I'm looking at a developer's Twitter account, I'm looking at their website, their blog, I'm looking at their GitHub, I'm looking at their change logs. And I can't find a lick of information as to what's going on. And that's poor communication. So, you know, if you're a product developer or you're managing, if you're managing products, I realize that you just want to build stuff. But unfortunately, you also got to communicate, and that's just part of the process. And, you know, it's not really hard. If you're looking for things to write about, you get, you know, there's new features, there's bug fixes, or you could do white papers, even user testimonials or reviews on your site. Major changes or announcements give people a reason to be excited, a glimpse into what they can look forward to. And the idea is to create this cycle, this feedback loop, where you communicate, users and customers provide feedback, and then you implement that feedback into continued improvements where necessary, where it makes sense. And I know it doesn't always work out that way, but I think that's an ideal strategy to keep both developers and users on the same page. And, you know, I personally think, and I mentioned this in the post, that a news site, like let's say the Tavern, is not the place users should be finding out or discovering what's going on with a particular project. They should be looking at that project. There should be a blog attached to that project's website or the changelog. The changelog is probably the most important and probably most relevant area where you should be informing users of things that are going on, development of your project or service. So in this whole post, I mentioned about how much communication, controlling the flow of information, and also about how it can make or break a business. And I link back to a situation in 2014 when iThemes had this major security breach that affected 60,000 customers. But because Corey Miller, iThemes CEO, he chose not to hide the breach under the rug, which for some reason some of these companies do, usually always bites them on the butt. It's 10 times worse than if they would have just been upfront and honest with it. Corey Miller was upfront and honest with it. He immediately informed the customers in the post as to what happened. He took full responsibility and then explained what they were going to do to make things right. And he maintained that level of communication throughout the entire process. So what happened? Well, upset customers, which believe me, they had every reason to be upset, really appreciated his honest approach of attacking the issue head on, being able to know what's going on, being informed. And many of the angry customers continued to do business with them and pledge their support for the company. So being honest when it matters most is incredibly important, aside from talking about all your new features and everything else. So, you know, Marcus said, like I said, some of this is common sense, and I'm thinking to myself, well, if I'm creating a plugin or I'm managing a service, I want people to know what's going on, what I'm working on, I have all these tools at my disposal today with social network and blogs to generate my own hype and control the flow of information and tell people what I want them to know. And it just really irks me when I come across a situation where just communicating a little bit would have went a long way towards removing this doubt and this panic from customers.
It also works on the front end before the plugin is even released. If you're talking about plugin development, there has to be some disclosure involved. Let me give you an example. Just a few weeks ago on the plugin review show that I do with John Overall, it's called WP Plugins A to Z. John reviewed a plugin that was about checking domains or something like that, or watching domains to see if they become available. I forgot the context of the plugin itself, but it was basically an affiliate thing through GoDaddy in terms of what you could do once you wanted to take action. And they didn't disclose that at all. And that's something you should disclose, that, hey, I'm making money off of this in terms of the back end. It's not a paid plugin. It's a free plugin, but I do get affiliate links in terms of the external. You know, it doesn't cost you anything more, and it does benefit me in the development and the support of the plugin. Now, had you led with that, I don't care. If you try and hide it or sweep that under the rug or not even mention it, then I do have a problem with that. So communication is key when it comes to even those small little minute details of what's the back end functionality of this plugin and what's the routing in terms of where is this going. So in that instance, that's perfect. That's a perfect example of where communication would have done the world of good. So instead of me thinking negatively of the plugin, thinking that one, you know, had their hand behind their back with something sneaky, then I probably would have had a much more favorable review had I not had to discover that on my own.
And whether it's a plugin, theme, or service, as your customer user base increases, so does the impact and importance of your communication. And I'm not expecting people to write a thesis every week, a detailed review of everything that's gone down. I mean, that it just takes too much time. It doesn't make any sense. And that's you're going overboard with the communication. But it's nice to know that you have a pulse, or developers have a pulse behind the project, that something is happening. And even if you just gave a couple of, just tweets or a very short post on what's going on, and, maybe it could be a few times a week, it could be once a week. You know, it's definitely got to be a few times a month, because a month, it was pretty much my cutoff limit, where if I don't hear anything or don't see any activity for within a month, I definitely start to worry and go, hey, what's going on here? Maybe I may have to start looking for an alternative here.
Mm-hmm. Let me give you a different point of view on what happens when you do communicate effectively. So everyone knows that I'm starting a site, membershipcoach.com, and I've already got an email list for the pre-launch that's going. It's, several hundred deep in terms of people that have signed up. I've been sending sort of these state of the site emails out to everybody, and I make it really personal and talk about exactly what it is that I'm working on. Then I query them in terms of any kinds of problems that they're having. Now, that's not only just to build rapport with them, but it's also to find out maybe there's some material that I need to make for this thing that I've not yet thought of in terms of a common problem. And that is the case, actually.
So you're working on creating what we mentioned earlier, is the feedback cycle.
That's right. And I'm starting it early, because this is before the doors are even open. I literally put my own email address in there in terms of the from and where the reply to goes and all that. But if someone wants to reply, it goes straight to my Gmail. And what's interesting is that I've done this now two or three times in terms of sending things out and then making sure that I'm asking for people to reply and tell me their specific situations. I've got probably 40 threads going with people back and forth about what it is that they're working on and their ideal situation. And so I'm trying to harvest information while I'm still developing. And communication is the thing that's doing all of that for me.
Nice. And it's nice to sort of set those expectations early, so that if, you disappear, like you disappear for a month or they don't hear from you, they're going to be like, Marcus, what happened? We're worried about you.
Right. So, I think people are excusing my tardiness in terms of getting the site done, or at least my delays, because
they know why.
That's right. They know exactly why.
So just a heads up there, and I'll link this to the show notes and you can read it in detail, which I highly advise you to do, because lack of communication doesn't help anybody. And it's not a good situation to put yourself in, especially when communicating just a little bit can go a long way. That's pretty much the basis of the entire post. So before we get into your plugin picks of the week, Marcus, I did want to talk about a few episodes ago. I think it was, it was back on 224, so it was a few weeks ago, but we talked about WordPress 4.5, and we were talking about some of the new features in there, and we discussed being able to click on different buttons so you can see a responsive view of your site. So it would look like a mobile view versus desktop view versus tablet view. And I think you had mentioned something about how if you can't see it on a per post level before you publish it, that it wouldn't be very useful to you. And I know we had a comment by Western Rooter, who, of course, as we mentioned earlier, is a component maintainer for the customizer. And he said that the latest version of his customized posts which is a sort of a mini plugin, says it includes integration with the preview from the post edit screen. So if you check out the video, which I did, you can click preview on the post or page, and it'll automatically load the front end with the customizer so that you can click each button to see how it would look in those different views. So that kind of solves the problem you were talking about. Now, whether this is going to be added to core or not remains to be seen. But the capability is definitely there. It's possible. So we've seen it.
Well, that's great. I wasn't aware of that. And that's something that I'm going to definitely check out, both the video and the plugin itself in terms of its functionality. So that, I guess I'm on the right track. Hopefully that's the kind of thing that the core people are looking at in terms of maybe a future implementation.
And as far as WordPress 4.5 is concerned, we're about 2 weeks away. The scheduled release date is April 12th, so give or take a day or two, it's about 2 weeks away. The most recent release is RC1. RC2 possibly was supposed to come today, but I haven't seen any news on that, so possibly tomorrow. So things are wrapping up, and there's actually a really cool... Well, one of the cool things that the core team does now is near the end of each release cycle, they'll publish a field guide on the Make Core WordPress site. And the field guide contains everything you need to know, links to major posts about major functionality that's added in the release and things that developers should know, such as I think the jQuery version has been changed around, and issues dealing with how to add selective widget functionality to your theme. All that stuff is covered in the field guide, and it's really a great resource for developers who maybe have been out of the loop or they want to get a sort of a Cliff Notes version and get caught up to speed really quick on what they should take note of in the newest version of WordPress 4.5. And I'll link to that field guide in the show notes. But it's a great resource. I love that the team is doing that now.
Absolutely. Documentation is key. What did we just say? Communication, right?
That's right. Communication. So the core team is definitely communicating, and I love it. So with that said, Marcus, let's dive into your plugin picks of the week.
All right. Well, before we get into the plugin picks of the week, I have one thing. It is a plugin pick for you.
Okay.
For you. It is called Wapu Fall Plugin. And it allows you to have falling Wapus, similar to the snowfall plugins that we've all grown to love out there. So if you'd like to have a falling Wapu on your site, which I know you do, Jeff, maybe that, hey, April Fool's Day is coming around the bend. Maybe that's something you can announce, that from now on, WP Tavern will have falling Wapus.
That is an idea. I'm not making any promises, but you may have ignited something here. We'll see in about 2 days what happens.
Either that, or you go back to Kubrick for one day. How about that?
That might be interesting.
I'll even make you a custom oval header if you'd like. Okay, so let's get into the plugin picks of the week. The first one is called Flatty, and Flatty is a plugin that allows you to have a flat admin theme. So the back end looks a lot different. It's based off of the flat design of the 2016 theme. And all you have to do is install the plugin and config how you'd like the back admin area to look. Quite frankly, I'm getting sick of the way that the WordPress back looks, and I wanted to customize it. I tried out this plugin, and it's pretty cool. A little bit of overkill in terms of the flatness. It's too flat. But I did find it very useful. And on specific client sites where clients actually do go into the bend, this does help in terms of helping to brand it a little bit. And it's a lot nicer on the eyes and the display and things. So it's called Flatty. We've got a link to that in the show notes. The next one, Jeff, is a pretty neat one. It's called Scratching Effect. And that's basically just like the scratcher cards that you get from the lottery and where you scratch it off and you win something. So you can use images, and they actually have to scratch it off on the page to determine if they're a winner or not. So you can put maybe a promo code in there that they can scratch off, and it either gives them, 5% or 10% or something.
Starting to lose you a little bit.
Okay.
There we go. Yeah, I heard you mention about the scratching effect. We were starting to lose you a bit. Sounds okay. Like you're back now.
So it's just like the scratchers that you get at the gas station for the lottery. And you could put a promo code in there. Maybe they scratch it off and it has a promo code and you can get a percentage off based on what that is. So it's pretty neat. It's called scratching effect.
And I also noticed that it's you can actually affect the probability. So you can have things that say no, you lose, or things that say you win, and you can adjust the probability of who wins what. So, this is one of those cool things. Like, I would have never have thought there'd be something like this for WordPress, and yet here it is. Yeah. In order to read this post, you must scratch it off, to uncover it.
That's right. Yeah, scratch off who we're talking about, right? Or maybe here's something else. I don't know how big of an image you could do, but maybe instead of having to do the spoiler alert, maybe you could put your spoiler in the scratch off. So,
oh, that's right.
No, you have to.
So the only way you could the people would actually see the spoiler is if they scratched.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go.
Pretty neat. Okay, so finally, I want to talk about Facebook Instant Articles.
Oh, that's something a popular thing.
I know. For those of you that aren't aware of it, the Instant Articles program allows publishers to host content directly on Facebook instead of just posting links and then having them direct back to their website. Facebook designed it to help these slow loading times of these external sites, mostly on mobile devices. And if anybody's experienced the Facebook app and then tried to go to an external website, you do realize that there's a huge lag in the terms of when that loads. So starting April 12th, Instant Articles is going to be open to all publishers. So that means publishers will be able to place ads, or just, it's basically like Google AdWords. Right. So anybody that's advertising within Facebook now, they'll have the opportunity to put videos or pre-rolls even. If you have an instant article that has a video, maybe it's a video commentary, somebody can actually advertise pre-roll advertising on that video, just like you see revenue, just like in YouTube. So if you're looking for an additional stream of revenue, this may be a pretty good one for you in terms of getting your own content over to Facebook Instant Articles. So there is a plugin called Facebook Instant Articles for WordPress. It does add support for instant articles to Facebook. And what it does is it actually makes a secondary feed on the back end that I think it's like /feed/instant articles or something like that, /instant. Can't remember the whole hierarchy of the link, but this does that. This makes it so that you're completely compatible inside Facebook with your WordPress content, and it gets pushed automatically.
Yeah, it's kind of like Facebook created their own sort of RSS feed, pretty much.
That's what it is, because they want to advertise with it. So they want to be able to put user-initiated ads, autoplay ads, all of that stuff within instant articles themselves. So if it's not only a great way to get your content out there, even if you're not even considering advertising, but if you're considering advertising, I think this one might be a bigger play than actually YouTube in terms of eyeballs and potential in terms of, the traffic. So who knows? I'm going to try and put a couple things out through Instant Articles once I get the membership coach site finished, and we'll see what happens. So everybody out there, start cracking on content, because this thing opens up on April 12th. And those are my plug-in picks of the week.
Excellent. So in about 2 days, it'll be April 1st. Everybody, I don't know, if you fall for jokes easily, stay off the internet for the entire day. If not, enjoy, have fun. But it is, as someone who covers the news and keeps tabs on things, I sort of hate Friday, April 1st. I almost take the day off and just not write about anything, because you don't know kind of what to believe on that day. So it's like a national holiday for journalists, pretty, or it should be.
I remember how perturbed you were April 1st last year when we had Lewis Howes on the show, best-selling author Lewis Howes. He wasn't then, was he? We're kingmakers, Jeff, you and I. but yeah, we had that same discussion a year ago about all the hoaxes and things going on the internet. And even Lewis contributed to that one. So, yeah, well, everybody have a great April Fool's Day. And I'm going to be following on Twitter. I can't wait to see what's going on.
And it feels like we had our break from the holidays. And next time we do the show, we'll be in April already, Marcus. We'll already be a quarter of the way into the year.
I know. Q1 is gone. It's gone. So this is a sign for all of you out there that are procrastinators. A quarter of the year is already been spoken for. So you've got three quarters of the year to set your goals and make them. So get cracking.
And that's going to do it for this edition of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all previous episodes on wptavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffrey. That's JeffrR0. And Marcus?
You can find me at MarcusCouch.com, also my MembershipCouch.com site. Sign up to the pre-launch there. Follow me on Twitter at MarcusCouch. And hey, don't forget to follow the Tavern on Twitter either, because all the nice stories come out there. And I don't know, by the way, Jeff, just to break format here for a second, did you see my one tweet that 9/10 of the emails that I get are WordPress story?
Oh, yes.
You know, Tavern story, tavern story, tavern story. One article that they did, tavern story. Unbelievable, these digests. Pretty unreal. So, yeah, that's it.
Excellent. So, everybody have a safe and enjoyable rest of the week. Don't get hurt or believe everything you read this Friday. And we'll talk to you again next Wednesday evening to talk more WordPress business. Until then, stay safe, everyone.